Good afternoon. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Tuesday, the 3rd of May. Apologies, I didn't get this out earlier this morning. Just busy. Right, I am pretty much back in full swing now. She who must be obeyed is over in Malta. I did say to the guys when I produced Ultimate on Friday, I was producing it. I did some of the early stuff, but then I was sorting all the files and the 5 minute price and the gold prices en route to the airport. She wanted to be on, you know, panic, got to get to the airport, blah, blah, blah. And I understand there's delays. Somebody's posted this morning about delays in security. So I had no problem going. Now I just said, well, you'll have to drive because I need to finish this work off and get this stuff published. Yeah, that's fine. So she was driving and I was sat with my laptop in the passenger seat. Flipping, dearie me, she's like flipping Ayrton Senna. You'd have thought the flight was taking off in about 10 minutes. Flipping, swapping lanes, speeding, jumping all over the place. And whether I'm not a passenger very often. I tend to do the driving. Most men do. They're not very good at it, are they? Let's be honest. Oh, you can't say that. You can't say that. You'll be out. I'm joking. Before people go, cancel him. I'm joking. Women are very good at washing. I mean, driving. Very good at... Oh, get rid of... I'm joking, generally. No. But I'm not a passenger very often. And we had a saloon car, which I loved. Absolutely loved. And then when Ari came over, she got rid of that and got SUV type. And I just don't think it handles as well. You're rolling all over the place, flipping it. I was being thrown everywhere. But yes, anyway, the bottom point is that she's gone. The birthday weekend is out the way. And I am now in knuckle down mode. Dog has got another heart scan to have next week. She's not right, but she's better than she was. And you know, I can keep an eye on that. And yes, it'll take a bit more of my time, but ultimately life has got to go on. And I've got things that I need to do and stuff I need to get out to people. And I will be doing that over the period of time. I've got lots of stuff to look at. We're going to develop. Obviously, we've gotten to the wrap racing tool. I want to make a couple of videos on that and develop that. We've got stuff that we're looking at for next season for the football. Both on the Ultimate and the FTS data side. I want to get some proper training and stuff like that in place. I want to look at what we did for summer school last year and then build on that in the summer this year. Really want to try and get some more video. I try to make some videos this weekend, and every game I wanted to make a video, I had goals at the wrong time. See, these guys who just do these sales videos, that's how I know they're sales videos, because every time I want to do one and actually show what I want to do, the goals come at the wrong time. Or I get in two or three at once and can't get things switched on in time because I'm trying to manage two or three games. But I want to get some proper videos on for you guys because I think that's a real help. Whilst I'm not a fan of learning from video, I do understand that if people can see your screen and do it. We've had two race cards back on the Racing with Andy this week. We did the Guineas week this week as the second one. So that's two of those. I think they're brilliant. I think the whilst I haven't been in the Telegram group much with what's been going on at home, I've had quick flashes and people seem to like it. I think, again, the key to that then is how to use it. So I'm going to speak to Andy tomorrow. And I think the next phase of that, we will do a Zoom one evening. And you can just come in and ask Andy any questions that you want. And he'll try and talk you through it, and then perhaps we can move then to perhaps I can do some videos on what I'd look for and this, that and the other. But I think it's a really good addition. I think it's like all these things, it's if you're not just giving tips, it's teaching people how to use it. But ultimately, once you've learned how to use it, you'll be able to use it for evermore going forward. So we've got lots of stuff to get through. So I know there's people waiting for things and trading group. We've got to get that up and off the ground again. Now I'm back, which I'll be doing going forward this week. Season's obviously coming to an end, so Ultimate will wind down. But there's lots of things that just sort of lots of balls in the air that I will get in some sort of order over this next month. And keep you all posted along the way. Podcasts will return, certainly, you know, four a week, and I may put it up a bit as I want to get through some other bits fairly quickly. What else have we got? Working from home seems to be the thing I saw yesterday, about working from home but paying 20 6% less wages. I can't see that being a good idea. I'm actually I'm not a work from home advert, although I work from home. In essence, I do think that people should go into offices and work just for everything that it gives. Certainly, I look at my boy and think, I think he's better since he's been going back into the office, just interacting with people, the osmosis of picking up ideas from people. I know how difficult it can be to motivate you to work from home. You know, I'm quite lucky in the fact that football now is, whilst I'm moaning about it, football is every day and it's a defined time scale. But having to actually get up and work. I've got a friend of mine who is a banker in London. And obviously they stopped working, work from home, works in Canary Wharf, you know, decent job, decent position. And I've been to his house since this all kicked off in whatever it was, March 2020. I've been to his house 4 times during the day. And you walk past you go in this gate, walk past the window of what was his dining room, which he set up as his office. And there's a computer there, a screen there. I've been there 4 times. He's never been sat at it. It's not been turned on. We took him a bit of cake. Sam made a cake in the first lockdown. I took him a bit of cake. Couldn't go in the house at that time. So I walked past it. So he's not in his office. Walked past the door to the next window, the other side of the door. He's sitting watching daytime TV. I just tapped on the wall and said, I know what you get up to now. Put the cake on the thing, on the doorstep. So there's a bit of cake there for you while you're not working and watching your TV. And then I went back and I've been back to fix a router. I do his IT, been back to reboot his computer. And every time I've been there, he's not been working. He's been sat on his flipping, sat on his sofa watching daytime TV. So I think that's probably being replicated quite a lot up the country, despite what people say, oh, we don't. I think it'll become a thing in show homes. They'll have you go to a housing estate where they're building, they'll have show home, an office set up. This is when you can pretend you're working from home. Get to work. Get out the door and get to work. Oh yes, it's an interesting time. I guess it's because I'm a bit of a set in my ways guy, but I'm quite wary of COVID, things changing because of COVID that don't need to and for no reason. And I do understand that you can save money on properties working and that, but just lots of things that are the golf club where the guys play. They never ever had booking. They were able just to turn up and play golf. So it didn't matter what time of day, you could just drive up there, play golf, and you never ever, private members club, never would have had to wait 15, 20 minutes to play golf. And now they're all moaning. I saw a couple of them at the weekend that they had to have booking when COVID came because for test and trace or whatever, track and trace, had to know who was where. And then COVID's obviously gone, and well, it hasn't gone, but we're acting as if it has completely disappeared. Despite the fact that there's 3 figures dying everywhere. But they've now implemented a booking system. So rather than going back to where it was pre-COVID, and apparently it's causing absolute bedlam and carnage up there from a sort of 100-year-old club where it was completely unnecessary that the powers that be then decide, oh, we like this, and all they're actually doing it we've only got a few people playing there. We can shut the clubhouse early or we can shut the bar. So members who might want to call in and just have a beer or play 9 holes on the way home are finding things locked up. And that. I'm just wary of, oh, because it was COVID and people have seen a different way to do things, that means it's right. It doesn't always mean it's right. There was plenty of things that we were doing before COVID that could continue as they are. But I do, I see the benefits for some people working from home, but I do think that, you know, certainly I can only talk from personal sort of anecdotal, seeing my boy, the difference in him since he's been going back in the office is absolutely huge. It is huge. Completely different individual. And great to see he's back to how he was, you know, pre-university days, which is sort of feels like it's been a 10-year battle of depression, and he's just great to see him really happy, enjoying what he does, interacting with people, going out for drinks with people, going out for meals. Just love to see it rather than sitting at home staring at a laptop on his own all day, which is pretty much what I do. See, boring. I've got 2 months on my own. I don't know what I'm going to do. Anyway, right, we got a bit of mindset coming up. So if you stay on the line, there's a bit of mindset. A couple of games of football this week, but it will, you know, it will peter out a bit. And then And then it'll be a couple of months and it'll all be back again. But if you stay on, I've got a little bit of mindset now about developing systems, a topic I'm going to expand out over the next couple. In this episode, I want to talk about, take the time to start talking about system development. If we put it in real basic terms, there's two factors to what we do, and they are what we choose to bet on and how we stake them. And that basically is the essence of what we do, and people tend to get both of those wrong. And as I've said many times, the reason that is that when people tend to start punting, their thought process for going into it is completely wrong. All they see is the money, and that's their main focus to dive in. And they expect to dive in and see these great profits. And when that doesn't materialise, they blame everybody else, bar themselves, and tend to rinse and repeat it. And rather than look at what they have done, work out why it failed, refine it, change it, they just tend to go through the same cycle every time. Football for me is my main sport. That's the main sport that I trade on. It is full of football trading. You know, without being a genius, football trading, just looking about, is full of traders who follow teams that have been on winning streaks. And I don't just mean teams winning matches, winning streaks irrespective of the market. So teams that have had the last five games over 2.5 goals, or the last six games under 1.5 goals, or the last seven games they've had a first half goal. That is how, without doubt, the majority of football traders go about their business. That is what they look for, and then they wonder why they cannot make money. So you'd get something like Tottenham home to Leicester, and somebody will say, oh, Tottenham have beaten Leicester six times, the last six times they've played at home. What relevance is that? You're going back to 2015-16, Leicester won the title. Completely different Leicester team now. Tottenham have had three, four managers since then. So you get that sort of thing. And Tottenham have scored in the first half at home in their last 12 games. So I'm going to back Tottenham and a first half goal. It may well win. That bet may well win. Would have won when Tottenham played Leicester this season. But the fact is, though, all these elements are priced in, and all that people are actually doing is looking for a safety blanket, which will probably come over many, many thousands of bets at the cost of the inability to turn a profit. The market overreacts to winning runs. The prices get too low and it becomes a fruitless exercise. But it is widely, widely touted. You see it everywhere. Stats cards, people in their write-ups, people in their podcasts, people just posting things up on Twitter, such and such. You know, Tottenham playing Arsenal, both teams have scored in the last six meetings. You see this all the time. And people are really looking for the safety net of being right as opposed to what wins money. I saw a tweet just this weekend about, I can't remember who it was or where it was, but a tweet basically saying that they saw goals in the Dortmund game. And sure enough, in the Dortmund game, there were seven goals. So then, of course, final whistle goes and they come on and said, you know, amazing our stuff, find how I found these goals. I said it. I'll be honest, I could show my dog Izzy the Saturday fixture list and ask her to choose a game of goals, and I think she'd probably bark Dortmund at me. Over 2.5 goals was 1.4. When Dortmund are at home, they average scoring 2.71 goals at home and conceding 1.31, so they're generating 4.02 goals per game. When they're short odds on, their goal production rises to 2.84. So it's not a genius statement to say I fancy goals at Dortmund. Most weeks there are goals at Dortmund, and Dortmund actually you can currently make money backing Dortmund over 2.5 goals. But the price is coming down, getting lower. And then obviously if you don't have the skill to find the profile of the right games, certainly when they've been less than 1.5, they had three losers on the spin not too long ago. and it just wipes out all that profit, and you just start that cycle again. That is what's going to happen. But it's an easy thing to say that Dortmund will score over 2.5 goals, or Bayern Munich over 2.5 goals, and it's a winning bet, and it looks good. But you know, and when you widen it out, is the point I'm making. It becomes a lot harder to actually make that money. If I said to you, do you want to back Dortmund and Bayern Munich over 2.5 goals every single game? Or do you want to back Augsburg and Hertha Berlin? Do you want to back them every single game? Every time they're at home, over 2.5 goals. I'd imagine I would have massive, massive, probably 90% of people would go, I'll have Dortmund and Bayern Munich, where you actually make more money backing Augsburg and Hertha Berlin because you're backing at better odds. And then you'll make more money in the long run. It's what I call the sort of comfort methodology. People want to be right, and they get themselves in the mindset that these runs will continue forever. And one thing is certain in punting. Good runs will come to an end, and bad runs will also come to an end. And the difference is that bad runs, they get overreaction as well. But they get overreaction in the other way, in the fact the prices start to shoot out. And then they are the ones that end up, in my opinion, offering the much better value. The market tends to overreact to winning streaks and shorten the price, overreact to losing streaks and lengthen the price. So some of my best methods, some of my best trades, some of my best value comes when you land on these opportunities and build them into your systems, betting in leagues, you know, such as France 2, Segunda, where the mentality is there will not be goals, so I'm not touching them. It is endemic in punting, that mindset. People like to see what they class as dead certs. They like to be right. They hate being wrong. And it offers them an excuse in one-off situations. You know, when they win, they can go, I knew there would be goals there. And if they're on games where they say, you know, Tottenham haven't scored in five games, and they went, I knew that, I told you, because Tottenham haven't scored in five games. But it isn't, that's not, you know, everything you've got to think about, if you keep playing it out, and you want to compound and multiply what you do out over time, and too many people are focused on what's happening in that little game or that little week. You know, and all these things, I knew there wouldn't be goals because it's the end of the season or it's the start of the season. All of these things just become excuses. They should have been factored in before a bet is placed. And then if it doesn't pan out over a few weeks, that doesn't mean that it's wrong. It means that at times football doesn't quite go exactly how we see it. And the same will be for racing, the same will be for golf, the same will be for whatever are these sports that we get involved in. That you will have these. So, you know, if I lost in May, it would never make me not bet in May again. I lost in May because it's the end of the season. I knew it wouldn't be. The results wouldn't go my way. It's May. It's an absolute fallacy that there's less goals or there's this dramatic change of results in May. Since 2019, in 1,731 games played in May, the average goals is 2.82 against a mean average of 2.71 across the board. And February for the same period, since 2019, is 2.59. So you're averaging over 0.2 goals a game more in May than you are in February. So let's all not bet in February. You know, it's what I'm trying to get to is before we start building systems and talking about it, we've got to have a logic and a mindset beyond, oh, they just always win then, or they always score goals, because the price, you know, you're not a genius there. The price will reflect it. The market, you know, will get efficient on these teams like Dortmund and Man City, Bayern Munich, that it actually makes it hard. Yes, you'll have winning bets, but will you turn it into winning money? And that's the key thing. And invariably, if you jump on these winning runs, Tottenham have scored in their last six first half goals, it's more likely that run will come to an end and you'll be on the losers than it is that it's going to keep winning forever. You know, when something comes up 100%, I like to leg it, because there's a fair chance that that's not what's going to continue, and I've shown that example numerous times to people, and I've in videos. you know, how many times have you joined a service where they've been touting winners and what a great run they're on, and then you sign up and you do your brains, and the reason is because those runs cannot possibly, it's impossible for them to continue anymore. So yeah, they've had a good run, and I've done this myself, had a good run, and then people get involved and it drops down, and it doesn't matter what the sport is, that will happen. So when we get back to, right, well, we've got to bet on something, what we're going to bet on, we've got to change our thought process. We've got to start to embrace things like unfavourable leagues. We've got to start to embrace things like bad runs. And it's got to be about risk, reward, price, and can we make a money? So every system that we develop, everything just starts as an idea. It doesn't matter whether it's the guys in the city with Forex, crypto, sports betting. Originally, everything just starts as an idea. Somebody somewhere, you yourself sat at home, me sat at my desk, whatever it may be, it starts as an idea. If I do X and Y happens, it should produce Z. And it sounds like it should be a fairly complex process. And it should, in effect, it should be something that you go through that consists of several steps, and each step is paid the correct attention. And if that is done, I firmly believe more and more people would succeed. As I said many times, then once you get to that stage, a lot of it then just becomes controlling the human brain and mindset element of that come into play, as nothing wins continuously and we're going to hit bad runs, and then we've got to learn how to deal with them. And that to me then becomes the battle, as opposed to what we're actually betting on and what we're doing. So, but if as you develop a system, so we sit down and go, we're going to develop a system, and every step is logical and makes sense, you will then have a complete understanding of how it's put together. And I think the ultimate goal for a lot of people is to be able to do things on their own, how it's put together, why it works. And if you've got that, it's highly likely that you will be successful. I am really big on logic. Things that don't make sense, I tend to run away from pretty quickly. So for an example for me, XG is a touted metric, well touted, been going up over the last few years. I don't like the logic of it. And not one person has ever been able to sit down. And people think a lot of the stuff I just do on whims, and perhaps that may be how the sort of presentation of the podcast comes about. But I've raised this issue repeatedly with some big punters, some serious people who use it, and asked them to talk me through it. And nobody has ever given me an example or a long-term proof of profit that proves that there's much in it at all. And my reasons are pretty clear, that each individual opportunity is an individual opportunity on its own, and what somebody did last season in a different coloured shirt with a different boot on with a different defender in him is completely irrelevant. And the quality of the player who's got that chance, all these things, I can't get the logic of it. As I think the example I used before was Eric Lamella in a shooting position or Harry Kane. I know which one I'd want, but they were both given 0.2 XG or 0.3 XG or whatever it is. It may well evolve. And it doesn't have to be everybody's view. That's my view. I don't like the logic of it. Nobody has proven the logic to me to a level that I've been happy with. So I run away and I subscribe to a couple of sites. I read some books on it. I spoke to people about it and I didn't like it. It's been a huge buzz. Lots of people going, touting about it. Lots of people tweeting about it. Lots of people posting it in places. Huge buzz. It's not for me. So what we need to do is develop a system to you that is logical to you, and then we optimize it, we forward test it, we get real-time results that correspond to that testing, and then we'll uncover, you know, the scope of what you've built. We can refine it. And I think one of my biggest bugbears is people binning things. Every single system that you build, and if you look at this over a project of what you're trying to do, where you're trying to get to, you learn from the ones you get wrong as well, and you learn from the mistakes. And I bin nothing. I've got one of the biggest Dropbox folders on the planet full of stuff and ideas that I have, but a little tweak may make a difference. I can go back to it in 2 years' time and see, have the football conditions changed, that there might be something in it. But when you just bin something, try it for a short period, bin it, you actually never get yourself to a stage where you're getting reference points. And the key to me is to understand what you've built, why you built it, and then can it produce a profit over thousands of bets, not 1 month, not one weekend set of games, not one season even, you know. That's how people work. I think if I was given three wishes, if the genie came down with the lamp and let me rub it, one would be to remove time periods in betting. I just think they're so destructive to people. I lost this week, I lost this month, as if the whole essence of what we're trying to do is determined by a set of 31 days that happen to fall consecutively and be given a label, March, August, whatever it may be. If you understand what you've built, think a little bit outside the box, perhaps when you're building it, you then will develop the ability to improve what you do, and it becomes much easier to stick to things then when you do hit the inevitable and unavoidable lean period. One of the first things I say to people when they say to me, well, this has happened, I go, right, what happened before? Was there anything to say you could expect this? Right, if there wasn't, right, why do we think, what is it? Let's get to the essence of why it happened. Sometimes you can't, but if you know what the way you've built the system, you can go back and unpick it and actually go, this, that, and the other. That was why. Like, gold production was down in that month. That's why. Everywhere, goals were down. Nothing you can do about goals being down, but you can start to understand why something stopped working rather than going, oh, I've just had a rubbish month, I'm going to do something else. So we need to learn to go from an idea. And I think, again, a lot of this revolves around people thinking for themselves rather than just trying to copy people all the time. To go from an idea to a betting / trading strategy. And you need to go through the steps to do that. And I think this is the bit where people don't do it, and something that I think we need to look at. So one is to formulate that strategy. You have your ideas, actually get it down. Formulate your strategy and write it down. I write everything down. I've got notebooks on notebooks. I've still got a bit of pen and paper, man. And I write down the definitive rules of what I want to do. So I know exactly what I want to do. I can then, once I've done that, I can test that strategy back on previous data. And then I can, as part three, forward test that strategy on live events as they happen. And I have no issue at all with paper trading. People, if you haven't got skin in the game, I have no issue with paper trading stuff forward. People saying you have to have money down, you don't. As long as you have got accurate prices and you're doing it properly, you know when you what price you would enter, what price you would exit, or what price you would enter and leave it, whatever it may be, then you've got now a strategy you've formulated and written down. You've looked at how it's performed backwards. You've then taken it forward, so you're now sort of completed three steps. Now you'll be able to analyse what you've got. Obviously, is there a massive difference between what you're doing live compared to what you're doing backwards, or forward testing compared to backward testing? And you can analyse and optimise that strategy, applying that logic from that period. So from formulating the idea, writing it down, to testing it on back data, to testing it on forward games or live events, you can now optimise it with logic. Not, oh, I won't bet on Thursdays because I haven't had a win in Thursday, but with logic, are there elements of that that can be refined? And then you should be then in a position where you've gone through that process that we can bet or trade that strategy. Once we're betting and trading it, we can then compare that period where we're betting and trading it periodically every 6 months, compare that to our forward testing, our back testing, and a lot of that isn't just also about numbers. It's more about point two. Have you followed your rules? Have you formulated the strategy? We've written it down. Have we now followed that exactly as is without any changes or tweaks or this, that and the other? Once you get to that stage, then you can refine and improve it. For me, it becomes sort of a summer and post-Christmas thing that I do. Is there anything I need to look at here, there? And everything that I do then, each one of those points depends on the feedback you get from the one before it, and then you can refine and optimise it. So if you've formulated an idea, written it down, and then looked at, so you've done phase one, phase two, you then applied it to back to past data and it doesn't work, right, so now you can't go any further, you have to go back to two, go back to one, formulate another idea there, right, yeah, that works, right, now it works on past data, I want to take it forward, right, it's not working, why, have a look, go back to three. So you've always got a sort of ladder process where you're going up and down the ladder until you get to the stage where you've got it going, and then you can refine and improve it. But every step of the way, it's based on the logic. And logic, you know, I've said the word a lot. That to me, I just listen to how some people talk and things they send to me and go, well, what's the logic? And, you know, I'm not doing Dutch Duplo League because it's lost for the last 3 weeks. That's not a refinement. That is a panic attack. It's not a refinement of a system. That is a panic attack that makes no sense whatsoever. You would need to go back, right back to steps one, two, three. Why was Dutch Duplo in that in the first place? What was the past performance? Were there similar losing runs? What were the average price you were betting at? Has the gold production in Duplo fallen? Has the 1x2 percentage changed massively? You know, is there different rulings? Is there VAR in place that wasn't there that's affecting things? But if you've got a process to go through, or you've built this process of how you're actually going to build a system, then the arm dropping Dutch Duplo shouldn't become an issue. That then becomes a mindset thing. And if you are dropping it, as I say, it's a panic attack. It's a, oh, I've had three losers there, I'm not doing that anymore. And it just becomes a bit of excuse making. Oh, I'm going to drop that out. And if I drop that out, then everything else will get better. Of course it won't. I mean, when I actually say it to myself, these sort of thing, I'm talking this, you know, talking into a microphone here. As I'm saying it, I'm thinking this is just ridiculous, but it is actually what people do. It is the process that people go to. So obviously step one is the initial hard bit, because it's coming up with that idea. And then that comes down to questions of yourself. So I did a summer school and I talked about this sort of thing. You have to ask the questions of yourself. What do you want to bet? What sport? Do you want to trade? Do you want to bet and leave? What market? And that will be defined a lot by what is your attitude to risk and reward? What is your attitude to winning and losing runs? And once you start to write all that down and specify it all out, it actually becomes quite clearer. You know, the market that you're going into becomes clear. How you want to play that market becomes clear. So now we need to, now we know that how I like to or would like to be involved, I can now look at how I build a system that enables me to operate how I want to operate, not operate in a way that I find really stressful and does my head in. And I tweak and change things. And I think perhaps that's one of the things that getting across to people. Unless somebody sat on my shoulder, it is quite difficult to share what you do ad hoc, or you can't do it all the time because it's impossible because you're involved in markets yourself, but to actually get that through. So what you try and share is the skill of people how to go about doing it, which this series is sort of aimed at. But once you've got that, then you can lay it all out in writing. And I still do this. You know, so I've got notebooks. I write everything down to get some clarity. The strategy could be as simple or as complex as you wish. I tend to find that simple works best, but people try and make things far too complicated. And I think they try and make it complicated, working on the sort of belief that you've either got to be a master mathematician or everybody's telling you that you can't beat the market. So it comes from this belief that the market is miles, miles better than you. So you've got to try and be clever to beat it. You're probably not clever enough. A little knowledge is dangerous. And you end up then tying yourself in knots where actually, quite often, simple is best. And one or two of the things I do, if I said them to people, they go, no, that can't work, it's far too easy. And that's why I don't. But certainly I've got a late goal method. It's just incredibly simple. Incredibly simple and incredibly productive. And in the next episode of this, I'll talk about some of the numbers behind that. But all that actually matters is that you write it out definitively and you are consistent in that approach. And then once you do that, then you can go through those phases. looking at it on data rather than just getting diving into a database and clicking it. I've asked myself the questions. I've formulated an idea. I know what market I want to work in. This is how I want to work the market. I think this will work. Go back and have a look on past data. Does it work? No. Why not? What is it? Is it the fact that you're not going to make enough per winning bet? Are your average odds not going to be enough? Whatever it may be, you can start to pull that data out. And that's it. And in trading, you know, I said there's only sort of two things that we're responsible that we need is what to bet on and what to stake. But then when we're actually in it, we're only interested in two things. When are we going to enter at the market and at what price? Sort of as one entry and price. And if we're trading, exit and price. When are we going to exit and price? And if you haven't got hard, fast rules and a mindset to stick to them, then your chance of success become infinitely worse. And you'll certainly see it with the horse racing. People will tell you, you've got to learn to take reds. It's exactly the same in football. So, you know, I tell people to exit, lay the draw trades, and I'll stay in five more minutes because I think there's going to be a goal. And it's those ones that kill you, because when you do lose, you lose too much. And then when you try and win, your wins don't count at all those bad decisions. And taking reds, I know people look at it, well, I'm losing. Taking a red and moving on is perfectly acceptable element of a trading strategy. You know, it should be factored in. It's risk management. That is all it is. It's the cost of doing business and enabling you to be profitable. So all those things need to be built in. So I'm going to talk a bit more about understanding some numbers behind what we do, because I think a lot of people don't. But the first phase of this is, you know, building, you know, before we get to staking, we want to get to the stage of this is what we want to bet, and then this is how we're going to stake it. But before we get to the staking bit, what we want to bet and system development. And system development should form some sort of formulated template, in my opinion, and as I always say, these are my opinion, along the lines of what I've given to you there, that you start with an idea. So you formulate that strategy and write it down on definitive rules. You can test that strategy then on previous data, and the rules may come from that testing. So those two may meld together as you've got the data in front of you. You then must forward test that strategy on live events. And I personally don't mind paper trading. You know, that's just a personal thing. Once we've got those first three out the way, we can then analyse what we're doing and optimise it with logic if we need to. Then we're in a position to go live. We can bet and trade the strategy. Then we can compare our live betting with what's gone on. And quite often, you know, again, if things overperform, if things are really overperforming, you should expect that that's not going to go on forever. It will come back. But we can see how that's going on, and it's are we sticking to our rules and doing all those sort of things. And then we can refine and improve that strategy again using logic at set times. And I think one of the things that people do is tweak things far too much and far too often to try and get it to work for that week or get it to work for that month. And again, it all comes back from this sort of arse about face way of looking at it, that people are starting with the money, where if you actually look at what you're doing and put these processes in place, you've got more chance of the money arriving at the end of it than starting with the money, trying to win and trying to protect yourself from every possible loser. And that's when you get drawn into this and, you know, short prices, kicking leagues out at certain times, removing months because you've convinced yourself without any factual evidence that May is bad or August is bad or whatever it may be. If you've got evidence telling you that May is bad, don't bet in May. If you haven't got evidence telling you May is bad, you might just be having a couple of bad weeks. There, that's the way that goes. But it is that, you know, getting away from this backward looking for me that, oh, that's happened 100 times, so it's going to happen again. I think you tend to find there's a sweet spot. I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is because it depends what you're doing. But there's a sweet spot of where stuff's happening 60, 70, 80% of the time that is probably better. And you're getting better prices than stuff that's happening 100% of the time. Oh, I love it. I've seen Dortmund have scored 22 games on the spin in the first half. So is that going to go on forevermore? They're just going to keep scoring in the first half? Of course they're not. What's going to happen is the price is going to keep shrinking And then they're going to have some losers. You're going to be on at the wrong price and hit the losing run. And then you're going to be going, oh, I'm so unfair. I mean, how often do you see it? How unlucky are we? They've the last eight games they've scored in the first half. The one I bet, they don't. I'm so unlucky. Well, you're not unlucky. It's just an illogical bet that you've had. You've not thought through why you have got to that point to release your money into that market at that time. So that's all I've got. I'm going to come back to it with some more on this in the next episode, talk about some numbers behind things, knowing what you're doing, which might give people some pointers and things to look for to start the idea process of this. But it does start with an idea. We formulate it, write it down with definitive rules that we've got to stick to. That becomes the mental battle. We can compare it and look at it on previous data. We then test it forward. And I know lots of people talk about numbers, and they are great having all these p-tests and that. All that is good stuff, but we still need to know how we're going to react under pressure when we're putting money down and losing money. And this, so that forward testing period is really important. And then we can analyse it then from that. So let's say, right, I'm going to test it for 300 bets, done that. Then I'm going to analyse it, see what that compares to the performance previously and in my live testing and my back testing and my strategy idea. How does that all come together? Analyse it then, optimise it if we need to. Then we can go into the bet trade period. Then we can compare that to everything that's gone on before. And have we stuck to what we're going to say to do? And then once we've got that process going, then we can refine the rules and improve that strategy. And the more you do it, the more data you get, the more you stick to your rules and keep doing the same thing, the easier it becomes to refine things. Because when things do go wrong, you can identify them pretty easily, and then you can make decisions based on logic whether to bin them out rather than on emotion or what's happening that to your bankroll at that particular time. So, as always, hope that was some use to people. And I'll be back with another episode shortly.